This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. B is way west. Seattle, I believe. On a golf trip, enjoying himself. Just me celebrating the day after scheduled release day. And this is no lie. Like, if you are a football fan, if you're an NFL fan, this is one of the most fun days of the year. And it's not all that complicated because you know what everybody did that's an NFL fan last night? All of them. They printed out that piece of paper. They looked at it on their computer. And they just started going line by line. Win, win, win. Loss, loss, loss. Coming up with their record. I listened to the Junks do it this morning. It is like a rite of passage. It's almost, it's not the same, but like when the NCAA bracket first comes out, the actual like 64 bracket, you kind of have a similar reaction because it's like, oh my God, this thing is tangible and I can hold it and I can make picks. And I think for Commanders fans, looking at the schedule from yesterday, you know, if you were listening to us, we were kind of letting everybody know a lot of what was coming and then try to be respectful of the league and the teams that build out these, you know, crazy schedule announcements and stuff, and let them have, like, the shine of all that at 8 o'clock. But I don't know. I think it's I really think everybody understood that the Commanders were going to play good teams this year. The two best divisions in football last year were the AFC West and the NFC North. If you just look at it as a statistical thing, the AFC West had three playoff teams. One of them went to the Super Bowl. The NFC North had three playoff teams. Now, they were all knocked out early, but those are the only two divisions, I believe, with three. NFC East had two. I think you can make a case for the NFC East, especially based on playoff performance, but regular season records, the two best teams were the AFC West and the NFC North. Well, this year, Washington has to play both of those divisions. And that's just tough luck. That's just the way the scheduling goes. It's a rotational basis among division teams. So you knew going into the season there were heavy hitter matchups. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Vikings, Lions, Packers. And based on how everything had been tracking, I think you'd be a real fool if you didn't think this was going to be a primetime national window loaded schedule. So all that said, all that considered, I really think the Commanders got a at least relatively favorable schedule. I think there's not I saw my man Rooster last night. He's always mad about the schedule. Somehow the schedule's always screwing everybody. And like, there's ways to look at it, right? Week one against the Giants, you get a divisional opponent. Week one at your joint, 1 o'clock, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Your schedule coming out of Labor Day weekend can be as normalized as possible for your week one matchup. And that's great. Week two, bang, right out the gate, you get a short week. Honestly, I think if you're going to get a short week, getting it in week two, pretty great. You're physically, yes, you will have the demands of that first game, but it's not like you've been playing 12 straight weeks and then you get a short week. You get a short week right out of the gate. I think that's an advantage. And here's what, if you want to complain about the short week, you got to understand, I believe it's Sophocles that said politicians are two sides of the same coin. Like, you can look at everything through both sides. So, yeah, going into week two, they have a short week going to play the Packers. Undeniably. But then it's 10 days till their next game against the Raiders. And that's week three. So, like, if you want to call me and scream, open these phones. I don't know. We'll open these phones. They're not open yet, but, like, I want people to have the ability to call rather than have them locked up. Are we giving away Caps tickets? Okay. I have just a little inside baseball here. That link you sent me was a sign-in. It wasn't signed in, so I can't get in there. Okay. So if you want to be upset, a lot of life is what you choose to view things as, right? I think if you want to be mad about short weeks and Thursday football, I think it's kind of silly because the NFL at its core is a business and they're going to put games. But by the time my daughters are in high school, I think there'll be an NFL game every night of the week. Remember during COVID, there were Tuesday games and it was kind of awesome. Like, there's probably some streaming outlet that we haven't even heard of yet that maybe even hasn't been launched yet that will carry Tuesday afternoon games in the year 2033. At some point, we just got to accept that this thing is going to operate how they want it to. But, dude, the advantage, if you got to have a Thursday night game, you get it in week two. Your body is not beat up yet. Not beat up like it will be week 10. And then you get 10 days off before the Raiders at home. Eventually, I'm going to go line by line, give you wins and losses. I just like to kind of react to all of it. So you go home, road, go down to Atlanta. Everybody asks me kind of biggest draw, best road trip, the best stadium. If you're a Commanders fan and you're looking at a game this year, go to Lambeau. If you've never been to Lambeau, Lambeau's an experience. It's the sights, the smells. It's like the Sistine Chapel of professional football. Go to Lambeau if you can. There's nothing in the world that recreates that. It's a really telling series of events with the Packers organization and the Bears organization, because they both have these really old stadiums, and the Bears have just completely butchered Soldier Field. Soldier Field should be the best stadium and location in the NFL. It's this beautiful, old, like Gothic, you know, Roman column stadium on the lakefront in Chicago, and they've just made it suck. Like, if you gave that land to a property developer, It'd be worth billions of dollars. And somehow they've just, like, got this stadium that a spaceship landed on top of and nobody likes going to. Meanwhile, the Packers have Lambeau Field, which is a stadium in the middle of a neighborhood that is just super old, that they have somehow really impressively been able to add on. They built all these suites and, you know, a luxury area. and they built it like along the side of Lambeau, and you still have the history, and it still feels authentic and small town, but yet, you know, you got room for the rich people too. It's pretty impressive. If you're just going for football, I think Lambeau's your trip. If you want an international experience, all of that stuff, then the Madrid game, obviously. But I got a sneak attack for you. So they start at home against the Giants, at Green Bay week two, home against the Raiders. Yo, that Raiders team is a very different team. They stunk last year. Don't just automatically assume that the Raiders stink again. Pete Carroll will turn them around in a hurry. They traded for Geno Smith, so now you've got a veteran quarterback. I'm not saying Geno's a Hall of Famer or even like a Super Bowl winner, but Geno's pretty good. And then I think Ashton Gentry's going to be a real problem for that Raiders offense. That don't assume those Raiders stink because they stunk last year. Week four, though, Landfill. The Commanders play in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is a dope stadium. If you've never been, or I know there are a ton of kind of old-school Skins fans that live in the Southeast, that game will have a lot of burgundy and gold. I promise you that. But the day before, September 27th, Alabama plays at Georgia. So if you're looking for a football road trip, now you gotta be in it for the ball, not just for the trip, but go see Bama, Georgia on Saturday and Commanders, Falcons on Sunday. Atlanta's got a zillion flights, easy to get into and out of. That airport sucks, but there's a lot of flights. I am openly campaigning, if somebody has tickets for Bama, Georgia, holler at me. I think the opening stretch, I get, it's my understanding one of the complaints is consecutive home games. It feels like a reach. If you're upset they don't have consecutive home games until the first, I guess, early November, okay. But it's not all that unusual to go home road. Think about it. They play now 17 games, and they try to divide them in half between the home games and the road games. It's going to split up one way or another. Giants, Packers, Raiders, Falcons, then the Chargers. That's going to be a really tough game. Back-to-back roadies. I do wonder, there's two spots. If you remember last year when the Commanders played Monday night in Cincinnati, and then they went to Arizona to play the Cardinals. So it was back-to-back roadies and West Coast travel. And Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, Josh Harris, they made the decision to just fly straight out to Arizona and be there for the week. I see two opportunities for that. Atlanta, obviously, is on the road. And then you're going to L.A. to play the Chargers. I wouldn't be shocked if they go to L.A. for the week. I think if you listen to, I mean, the guys that said stuff that really stuck out to me, McLaurin, Wagner, and Dan Quinn last year, what they said that Arizona trip did for them, just as like a relationship builder, I very much think the organization is going to look to do something like that again. Lost in the sauce last night, which nobody will care about, is the Commanders also announced their preseason games. So just stay with me briefly. The preseason games, the games don't matter. But because they have only, what do they have? They have only 8 home games, 9 road games this year. They have only 1 away preseason game. So they announced that's going to be August 8th in New England. The overwhelming odds are that they're going to practice up there against New England. So you're talking about, pull up the calendar, August 8th. Now, they'll either go 2 or 3 days of practice. Last year, they did 2 two-day sessions. The 7th will obviously be an off day before a game. So they're probably practicing the 5th and the 6th in New England, maybe the 4th, 5th, and 6th. But then the rest of that preseason training camp slate, they got 2 preseason home games, August 18th against Cincy, and then a Ravens game that's a TBD. The Cincy game's a Monday night, so maybe Cincy'll come here for practices. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. The Cincinnati Bengals are not known as the type of organization that likes to throw money around, and traveling for preseason joint practices requires cash. Maybe that'll end up happening, and I'll owe Cincinnati an apology. But it's entirely possible, based on this preseason schedule, that the only time away as a team comes in Foxborough in early August, probably the 4th, 5th, and 6th. Maybe they go the 4th through the 8th and they fly back after the game. That's not a ton of time. Think about last year, they had two trips, Jets and Dolphins. And then they went away for the week to Arizona. So I just, when you look at that, you got to think the way DQ has been open that he would like to do training camp away. He would like the whole team to get away, go somewhere else. I look at that Atlanta-LA opportunity as a Atlanta to LA as an opportunity for this team to go out and be alone and remove, you know, whether it's a distraction or it's helpful, remove everything else but football from their lives. That LA game I also think is going to be really tough. I think kind of some of the running backs and some of the offseason moves the Chargers have done. If you look at Harbaugh historically in year two, kind of the jumps he has made, then we're coming back. Remember the Hail Mary game? Hail Mary gets moved to primetime. Ben Johnson coming to Northwest Stadium. I guess gets to see what a bunch of basketball guys have put together. That should be a lot of fun. Monday night, Bears. Whatever this fake weird rivalry is with Bears fans, I'm here for it. That should be a lot of fun. Now, this is one that Chris Russell would tell you the Commanders got screwed. Monday night at home, and then they're on the road in Dallas for a 4:30 start. On the screwed scale of 1 to 10, what are we calling that, a 2.5? There are spots in this schedule you could say, oh, you know, Washington's on the wrong end of the stick. Is that a thing? Wrong side of the road? Whatever. At every juncture that may be the case, it's still pretty minor. Because if you want to yell about them getting Monday to Sunday against the Bears, well, then the following week they play on a Monday. So it's like this schedule to me seems like they tried their hardest to make it fair for Washington, whereas in years past, they didn't. It seemed like they tried their hardest to screw Washington. Like, just straight up the dates. On October 13th, Washington plays the Bears at home. On October 19th, Washington plays Dallas in Dallas. So, that's 6 days. But then, Washington doesn't play Kansas City until the 27th. So that's 8 days. So it was 6 on one side, 8 on the other, equals about 7. It's about a week off. I don't think we need to reach to try to figure out who's getting screwed. This, to me, really seems pretty fair. Now, there are a couple slots where there's back-to-back roadies, right? Atlanta, L.A., then the Bears at home, then Dallas and KC, which is a very tough stretch. And for everybody, like, I recognize Dallas was bad last year. They played Washington really tough. Like, I mean, they lost at home, and they took them to the absolute wire down there when Washington had to win. Now, granted, Jaden came out, and, you know, Washington was in the playoffs, but the seeding was all very much TBD. Mariota makes that hella pass at the end of regulation there. I guess I just did 20 minutes, and we're not even to the bye week yet. I think then they come home from Kansas City for another primetime game. This is what happens to really good teams. I'm going to get to the bye, and then I'll break. So Seattle at home, which is very cool. You got Mike McDonald coming back. Then Detroit at home, a 4:30 national game. Then Madrid. We're going to talk Madrid. We're going to talk the second half of this schedule because, damn, it gets tough in the second half. All right, folks, I know we all got NFL schedule fever, but there's a big game tonight, man. Caps, Canes, helping us break it down. How do the Caps get back in this thing? Is our dear friend, Mr. Joe Beninati, voice of the Capitals for Monumental Sports Network. Joe B, what's up, dude? How are you?
To heck with that, JP. Let's go to Madrid.
I'm going. You should come.
I'll bet you are. That's going to be a great trip. Have fun with that. We're going to have fun with a Game 5 tonight.
We'll get past Game 5 tonight, and then we'll talk Madrid. things in Raleigh did not go well.
Nope.
How did they get it back on the right side this evening?
Their work rate has to be better than Carolina's. That's not easy. That's always been the calling card for a Rod Brind'Amour team, is relentless effort and hard work ethic. But for the Caps to stay alive, they've got to out Carolina tonight. It's just as simple as that. And there's a lot more that goes into it than just that. I'm not going to make it ultra simplistic, but one thing they need to do better, JP, is, you know, people talk about battles for 50-50 pucks. Those have got to come up the Caps' way. More so than what we've seen in the first four games of the series. It's doable, and from an urgency standpoint, you can't get any higher on the urgency meter for the Caps than you will tonight. This is win or go home, so it's time for them to ratchet their game up and see a great deal of improvement from a work ethic standpoint, but then it's execution. You have to, in some way, shape, or form, find the scoring attributes that you had early in the season and bring them to the forefront, because the offense has been very un-Capitals-like for about, I'd say, 6 weeks, but especially so here in the playoffs. And that includes the Montreal series. You've got to find a way to turn the light on tonight by hook or by crook.
Am I crazy to think, obviously, you got to score, but I think they almost have to score first. Like, they have to score early, take a lead. When they're chasing the Canes, I mean, both literally and figuratively, Carolina just seems to hit another gear.
Coaches always say, JP, it's a little bit of coach speak. You don't want to chase the game, and you definitely don't want to chase the game for too long. If you go back and watch the first period of Game 3 in Raleigh,
they were awesome.
To me, that was the best period the Caps have played in the entire postseason. Better than anything, maybe save for Game 4, third period against Montreal, where Willie throws the huge hit,
yeah,
and then the momentum goes all downhill. Other than that, to me, the best period the Caps have played was the first period of Game 3. Could easily have been out in front 2-3-0. Come back in Game 4, first 5 minutes, two great scoring chances right off the jump. One, Anderson makes a good stop on. The other hits the inside of the post. So there's a little bit of that puck luck here.
Yeah.
We all thought at the outset of the season, when they were scoring 4.5, 5 goals a game, and their shooting percentage was through the roof, all of us looked at each other and said, sustainability? Can you really do this for that long? And it dipped in March and in April, and unfortunately it's continued to dip into May. Their scoring has not been where it has been and where it can be. You just hope that they find some trigger, some way to recapture that and then maintain it.
Gosh, I hope they can figure that out. And you're so right, Joe. You know, Game 3 in Raleigh, that first period, they were absolutely on fire, just couldn't get anything to the back of the net. I mean, Willie had that little backhander. Ovi kind of flubbed a little breakaway. But they were flying. And I almost, you mentioned it too, in the Montreal series, the big hit by Willie up there in the Bell Center that really quieted that place down a bit, turned that series around, or just gave Washington the momentum boost maybe. Who was the guy that could make a play tonight to maybe turn this thing around?
Yeah, you're always looking for those momentum shifts. In the first round of the playoffs, Martin Saint-Louis, the head coach in Montreal, and Spencer Carberry here in D.C., they were very fixated and focused on momentum. Momentum does mean an awful lot come this time of season. And you're looking for a play, a sequence of plays, a great save, a huge hit, a brilliant goal. To me, JP, if I'm looking in my crystal ball and sometimes I'm able to see the future, something like a great shorthanded goal tonight would suit me and suit all of Caps Nation really well. If you're looking for a big key momentum shift type play, Carolina is really good on the power play. Gostisbehere is an excellent power play quarterback. He's very deceptive. His one-time shooting ability, we've seen all of it. We've seen his lateral mobility at the blue line. Let's say he tries to make too great a play, or he bumbles and stumbles and fumbles a puck. It turns into an Alexei Protas or a Tom Wilson shorthanded breakaway goal. That's the kind of play. Oh, geez, that would punch and, you know, give you the shot in the arm, make the crowd go through the roof. That kind of a play, to me, is the one that I kind of see. Yes, without a doubt, the Wilson hit on Carrier in the Montreal series fueled everyone, sparked everyone wearing red, white, and blue for the Caps. You can definitely have that same type of play, and again, that same type of player is Tom Wilson or Alex Ovechkin, for that matter, when you talk about a bone-jarring, big, open-ice hit that everybody says, whoa, let's go, let's follow the leader. But to me, I kind of see something along the lines of a shorthanded goal swinging momentum like that.
Well, talking with our friend Joe Beninati here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the best HVAC products in the DMV, reliability and comfort. You can, of course, watch Joe, listen to Joe on Monumental Sports Network. You can give him a follow at JoeBPXP on Twitter and Instagram, the X, the everything app. Joe, it's funny you mentioned the shorty, like maybe the Caps getting a shorthanded goal, just getting something that gives them a spark. I almost don't want to bring this up, but sitting there in Raleigh, that four-minute power play at the end of the first period was one of the most disheartening moments I remember watching the Capitals in a long time. I recognize that Carolina is a really good penalty kill team, but goodness gracious, how do they get the power play going again? Do you think Ovi getting one on the 5-on-3 might give them a little boost or something?
Well, you're not going to get too many 5-on-3s. This season, JP, alone, the Caps are 6-for-11 when they go 5-on-3, and Ovechkin has 4 of those 6 two-man advantage goals. You can't rely upon that. Your 5-on-4 power play has to improve, and it starts simply enough with what sounds like, oh, that's easy, just get the puck in the zone. Zone entries are difficult against Carolina. Zone entries, when the Caps are off on the power play, when they're sputtering, when they're not doing well, more often than not, it's the problem begins from the offensive side of the red line to the defensive blue line for Carolina. That space, in that 25 feet, all of a sudden things get stopped up and there's no real clean entry. They talk about clean zone entries, and you see the best power plays in the league have a speed merchant that brings the puck into the zone in that instance. A lot of you'll see power play breakouts, JP. Fans see it all the time, and Caps fans don't necessarily like the way it's often referred to as a slingshot. There's like 2 or 3 drop passes before that player reaches the line. I know what they're trying to do, but the zone entry guy has to get in there with speed. And it's doubly important against Carolina because of their quickness. What impresses me the most about Carolina in these 2 weeks, in these first 4 games, is their defensive speed. Everybody talks about speed on the ice, and they reflect upon it as an offensive gift. Without a doubt, yes, quickness is important on offense. But defensively, their sticks are always in the passing lanes. Their quickness, they're in your face. They overload, they swarm is the best, I guess, defensive term that we'd use.
Swarm is
they
really...
swarm you and force you to either fumble a puck, not do what you want to do with it, not make the easiest clean entry, not make the easiest simple pass to get in the zone. They are forcing you. They're accelerating you all the time. So the Caps have to find, in some way, shape, or form, a better way to enter the zone. And I know they've been working on it for days. I know they've been in video meetings trying to find the best avenues, the best routes to get in the zone. Once you get set up, then let's see what happens after that. But you better get in nice and clean so that you can get set up. So often in the 2-minute power play, Carolina is frustrating you and you just fritter away the first 40 seconds and then all of a sudden, boom. And we saw it just magnified in the double minor where they just couldn't get anything going at all. And that upset the coaches, that upset the players more than everybody knows.
Yeah, I mean, you could see the frustration leaving the ice at the end of the first. Last thing for me, Joe, I know you might have to run here. A lot of speculation. I guess we saw it in practice that Lars Eller might head to the bench. Some real line shakeups. Do you think that can make a big difference tonight?
I think it's going to happen. I think McMichael's going to play in that three center role. JP, it's interesting. I'm looking through a doorway now. I'm seeing out onto the ice. It's an optional skate, and every morning skate is an optional skate, but Logan Thompson's not on the ice. And I don't think that there's an issue there. It could just be that Logan's taking the day to get himself physically ready for tonight. But I don't see Logan Thompson out there. With regard to McMichael, I think McMichael's the 3C tonight. You readjust that fourth line back to the way it's been when you've had the most success with Radish and Dowd and Duhaime as a trio together. Those three guys worked so well. You go for the super huge line of Protas, Dubois, and Wilson. I mean, that's almost, gosh, that's like 750 pounds of hockey player there. That can be interesting. And I just hope, like, you're looking for an offensive spark. Let me throw this one out there, too. I tried to look into the crystal ball and the shorthanded goal thing. Let's see something offensively from Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
Dubois had so much defensive assignments against Suzuki and in this round against Aho. I would love to see the puck go Pierre-Luc Dubois' way. Some good puck luck there, some offensive push, and all of a sudden he turns the light on. That's something else that can generate a spark for the Caps. You got to find something that's going to invigorate this team now.
Can't start a fire without a spark. Joe B., thank you so much for your time, man. I always appreciate you. And now you got me a little freaked out with this LT not being on the ice.
Well, I don't think you should be freaked out. It's unusual. Logan normally likes morning skates, or at least he takes them. But I don't see him out there, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. There are three goalies out there, interestingly enough, but none of them is Logan Thompson.
All right. We're going to keep an eye, but not be freaked out. I'll see you over at the arena later, Joe. Thanks again, man.
Catch up with you soon.
All right, the great, legendary Joe Beninati. Give him a follow at JoeBPXB, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Getting back to the Commander schedule when we return. It's B. Mitchell Fitz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
A lot of folks excited for Caps game tonight. Backs against the wall, man. Got to show up. I really think getting a first goal would make a big difference. Big news last night, obviously, NFL schedule release sent out. We kind of run through a lot of it. My thought is at 11, phones are open. 800-636-1067. So if you want to get in line, you got 10 minutes. Everybody loves going through the new schedule and deciding how many wins, how many losses. It's really fun to do. I like going through line by line and just trying to like come up with a better understanding of where there's trouble, where there isn't, what it's all going to mean. Because it's so easy to just complain about everything, how about talking about some of the good things, including a bye week that's not mid-December? Now, they didn't move it up that early. There's a big difference between week 15 and week 12. And I think for Commanders players, that's going to feel a lot different for their bodies, especially coming off the travel of Europe. I wonder if some guys will stick around in Europe, sightsee, go to the beach. That Dolphins game, yo, United, if anybody is listening, or other airlines, I just know United has a hub at Dulles, add more flights to Madrid, dog. A lot of people want to go. And while I'm on the subject of asking United to do stuff for us, how many United employees you think listen to us, Landfill? Over, under?
At least 5 or 6.
I was going to say 19 and a half.
I'll say over.
Dude, Dulles is a hub. You know how many United people are there? And I know a bunch of them. Landfill, I can tell you personally, 10 listen. Just people I know from traveling. So United, let's do some things here. Add a direct flight to Green Bay, please. Or now this could be anybody. If there's another enterprising airline out there, do your thing. If you add a direct flight to Green Bay on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, a direct flight there and back, it'll sell out immediately. Everybody here wants to go to Green Bay and go see Lambeau Field. So step one, United, add a direct flight to Green Bay on Wednesday, September 10th, Thursday, September 11th, and Friday, September 12th. Step one. Step two, add a couple more flights to Madrid. They will sell out. That's the end of my brief tenure as an airline executive. Second half of this schedule. And I listen, for all the math majors out there, I recognize it's not exactly halves. They have 11 games before the bye and then just 6 after. I'm cognizant of that. And, dude, the last 6 games are a straight-up meat grinder. I wish I had better words. I wish I could give you more positivity about the last 6 games coming out of that bye. But get ready, man. Coming out of the bye, November. So that is Thanksgiving week. Commanders, Broncos, Sunday Night Football, NBC4, Mike Tirico. That's the bright, bright lights right there. Denver's a playoff team last year. For all the talk of Jaden's possible regression, I would cast an eye towards the mountains, towards the Rockies, and wonder what Bo Nix is going to do. Although Nix was impressive down the stretch for Denver, and he's got good wheels. I'm not anti-Bo Nix. I think Sean Payton really schemed a lot of stuff for him, and I'm curious if that will continue or if he gets asked to do more. Whereas we saw Jaden's progression last year, like in very real time. Denver's tough. Then you're going on the road to Minnesota. And I think it'd be easy to say, man, I just don't know. They're starting a rookie quarterback. I guess he's not a rookie. A second-year quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. I just don't know what Minnesota's going to have. Here's what I can tell you last year. Minnesota had Sam Darnold, who had stunk everywhere forever, and he balled out. I believe in Kevin O'Connell. I believe in what the Vikings have put together. And if you go back in time, J.J. McCarthy was probably third on my quarterback depth chart. I really liked McCarthy. I thought it wouldn't have been nuts if he went 3 over Drake May. I like Penix too, but I think McCarthy's going to be really good. And if Sam Darnold was really good, I don't think the Vikings are going to fall apart with McCarthy at the helm. So that you got back-to-back roadies here. Denver Sunday night, at Minnesota, at New York. I wish I could get odds on this. White Brian, see if you can, like, invent a bet. Bees, if you're listening, send me odds on this. Whoever starts for the New York Giants week one will not be the same quarterback that starts week 14. I'd put a responsible $1,000 bet on that. Now, it's probably minus 350 or something. I mean, the amount of quarterback turnover in the NFL, regardless of the chaotic situation the Giants have. So coming out of the bye, you got Denver at Minnesota, at the Meadowlands, Philly at home on a Saturday, Dallas at home on Christmas Day, which apparently is controversial for some, and then they finish at Philly. Two of your last three games against the defending Super Bowl champions. Your last four games are all division round games. You got a short week thrown in there for bad measure. Now, for the short week crowd, two things. Last year, the Christmas games were Saturday to Wednesday. This year, Washington gets Saturday to Thursday. That is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's not an abnormal turnaround. In fact, in week one, going into week two, when they play on Thursday, they have less rest. Week one is a Sunday. Then they play the Packers week two in Green Bay on a Thursday. This time, at least it's Saturday to Thursday. Oh, and by the way, on the other side of this thing, you're going to get 9 days off before a Week 18 matchup with the Eagles. You'll get at least Thursday to Saturday. So for they're getting screwed with these short weeks, the other side of a short week is a long week. I want to briefly ask you two about Christmas. I have decided, for me, I'm cool with it. I got young kids. We got Christmas Eve together. We got Christmas morning together. We'll open presents. Santa Claus will come to town. All's cool. 1 o'clock means I leave the house. And honestly, I don't think there's going to be a lot of like other programming to do that day because it is Christmas. I'll probably leave my house at like 11:30 and just get there and go right into the game. I also think this is awesome for families. Like, I think a lot of families will now watch the game together. I think a lot of families will go to the game together. I do understand if you're a faith-based person, if that's really important to you on Christmas, that this disrupts that. Where are you at, Landfill?
I mean, I'm cool with it. All I got to do is watch a game.
Do you consider yourself a faith-based person?
Absolutely. I have faith in JP going to break hunt time.
Well, buddy, the devil's in the details. Nobody go anywhere. Phone lines are open next. 800-636-1067. Thoughts on the sketch?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Flea on the base right there. Commander's schedule came out last night. I think it's pretty damn good. Now, they're playing tougher competition, but that's just because this is not a first-place schedule. For all the people I've seen that on Twitter, I hate to break this to you, but they didn't come in first place. The Eagles did. The reason their schedule is so much harder is because they just happened to be in the rotation this year against the AFC West and the NFC North. And frankly, I think those two divisions will be really good for some time. But I think there's not a killer stretch of like three roadies or a short, like consecutive short weeks. I think it's really pretty fair. I'm curious what folks think. I'm going to start with my man Jonesy is on the line. Jonesy, what do you think of the Commander's schedule, man?
What's going on, JP? How you feeling, man? You and Lance feel rolling?
Yeah, we're chilling, man.
Hey, that's cool. It's cool, man. Love it. Check this out, man. I don't believe that schedule is as hard as it was, more challenging than it was last year. I think it's a doable schedule, in my personal opinion. It's just pretty much catching teams at the right times when they're down, rather than them catching us when we're down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Last year was really pretty. It's hard to get a better schedule than last year, dude. From October 1 till mid December, they didn't have to get on an airplane. Like the furthest they went was New York.
Yep.
This year is a lot more travel.
Second week, we going to Green Bay, and we turn around, and we going somewhere else. Oh, my God. So, you know, and then the time schedules. We had a lot of 1 o'clock games last year. That's not the case this year. We got more 4:15.
Oh, yeah.
We got some night games. We got a Monday nighter, a Thursday nighter. I mean, man, we're all over the place with it. We even got a morning game, Madrid. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be fun. They're a hot ticket, Jonesy. Thank you for the call, brother.
My man.
All right. Take care, man. They are undeniably a hot ticket. People want to see the Washington Commanders. They want to see the burgundy and gold. I believe this is Devon in Rockville. What's up, D? What do you think of the schedule?
What's up, JP? What's up, B. Mitch?
B. Mitch is in Seattle playing golf. You're only saying hi to me.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I'm so used to it. I forgot he is on his golfing trip.
All good.
So we're going to put the spotlight on JP. What's up, JP? It's your show today, baby.
Thanks, buddy.
You know? Hey, so I think the schedule, like Jonesy just said, man, we got a good team now. So that schedule, looking at it, like, I like our chances versus everybody that we play. Of course, we're not going to go 17-0, but, you know, I like our chances versus everybody that we play. I just love the fact that we're getting national love now. Like, we're not being denied, and we got 5 national games, and a lot of our games is prime time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like we have the coaches, the players in line that's ready to embrace this and show that last year wasn't a fluke. Like, we here to stay, baby.
I'm with you, man. It's going to be fun. Thanks for the call, dude. Good to hear from you.
We are talking Commander's schedule release here on 106.7 The Fan.
I never thought you would just do a straight like rejoin there. Sorry, I had to cough.
Yeah, JP was
There's
basically dying.
I can't really lean on White Brian. The kid's a mute.
No.
Brian's playing Seattle. Jeff is working from home. I got something in my throat. Pause. What are your thoughts on the schedule, Landini? Just overall.
I like it. I like that they have, you know, I've been saying I like they have more national games because I'm not embarrassed for them to be playing nationally anymore. You know, it 5 years ago when they were in a game that you knew everybody who liked football was going to be watching, it was just going to we were just going to get clowned on endlessly for whatever happened. Something would go wrong. Something would be disastrous, embarrassing. And that's just not the case anymore. They're a competent team. We have a good quarterback. We have just everything with the team, with the organization is done well, and people seem to have respect for us. And we're going out there and kind of changing the perception of the team. I think they still need to do that somewhat, from, you know, laughing stock, punching bag, to this is a serious organization. And when you see them on the schedule, you should expect to get your ass kicked.
I mean, DQ says it all the time. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know what they are not worried about? Playing back-to-back roadies. Because they're going to practice and get ready to kick somebody's ass. Let's go to our guy, Drew. What's up, Drew? How are you, pal?
Hey, JP. I'm doing good. And so this is a great time of year. I love it. I got three kind of quick comments for you.
Okay.
One on the opponents. You know, I know we got to play two hard divisions, but so do the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants.
Yeah,
so totally. I think my takeaway of that is winning the division is important because the wild card probably gets harder. But look, we're sitting here going, how do we get in the playoffs this year? So I think it's
hold
awesome.
On. Drew, let me ask you something. Why does the wild card get harder?
Well, because our win total might be less.
Right, but the teams that were in the wild card last year were in the NFC North, right, besides Washington, you had the Packers and the Vikes. Like, they also have to play the Eagles and the Cowboys. I think all that kind of comes out in the wash is all I'm saying.
I agree. And that kind of fits into the next one in terms of coming out in the wash, the non-Sunday games, right, the large number of non-Sunday games. I think you're exactly right that, unlike Rooster, I'm not going to complain about a specific game. I think the puts and takes even out. My concern is kind of just the rhythm overall, right? How many – you don't get the Mondays this, Tuesdays this, Wednesdays this, Thursdays this, week to week. And over the course of a long season, that might be an issue, right?
Yeah, so, dude, so you are – I've done this a while, being in those locker rooms. When you get to late November, December, it doesn't matter what the schedule is. Everybody's body hurts and they're a little grumpy. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're winning, the schedule is the schedule and nobody's worried about it. Because
winning's the best medicine is what you're saying.
Dude, 100%. And, like, it's so easy to get caught up in short weeks and all that and, you know, the rhythm of going on the road and then coming home and road and home and road and home. Like, there's a flip side to every complaint. On the short weeks means a long week after. And these dudes, mentally, everybody involved with an NFL season is fully cognizant of the straight-up grind by Thanksgiving. And mentally, you are spent, but you're also in the foxhole, man. And everybody just kind of keeps going. And I think one great thing about Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and what they built over there, this is not an excuse crowd. Like, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody cares that they got to go to Dallas and to Kansas City because they're flying on private charters and the food's good. You know, like, let's just keep it moving. But rhythmically, I can understand what you're saying for sure, Drew.
Yeah, so you're getting me pumped, JP. And that kind of, the last point I would make is, you know, the first thing I do when I see the schedule is not the win-loss totals for the year. It's travel plans and home tailgate plans. And I want to say
that, you know, I believe.
Big thank you. No doubt. And big thank you for last night shouting out about that Bama-Georgia game before the Atlanta game, because we've already locked in those plans. And I heard you say earlier you're looking for a spot. If you want to hang with the Cohen clan, we'll be there, and I can hook you up where you can you're welcome to join us, only because you're a Bama fan and not a Bulldog fan. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said that.
I may take you up on that. I got to kind of see game time. If it's the Saturday night game, that gets awfully tough with me with everything I had to do Sunday morning and getting back to Atlanta and everything. But we will circle.
So, you know, we're going into Atlanta, going to Athens, and coming back from Atlanta and coming back to Atlanta Saturday.
No, even if it's a night game?
Yep.
Okay. Now we're talking. I assume your beautiful wife will be driving and not you.
Yeah, we'll work that out. We got a daughter that goes, and, you know, getting four tickets is easier than three, and this way I don't have to necessarily take the boyfriend, so I'm really happy about that.
I am happy to exclude the boyfriend and take his ticket, if that helps.
Yeah,
We'll talk about that offline, dude. Let me run. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Lanfield, what game are you most excited for? I think that's kind of an interesting question.
For me, it's the Bears game. The way that these Bears fans have whined and complained about everything that has to do with this team since we went out there and beat them with the Hail Mary, I'm over them. I want to see, what is that, a Monday night or a Sunday night game?
Monday night.
On Monday night, prime time, whole country watching, I just want to see them. I want to see the Commanders destroy the Bears. I want to see them emotionally and mentally wreck the entire city of Chicago. I need it to happen. It's what I'm most looking forward to.
So, Adam Rank, who is a noted Bears fan, has a...
Noted Commanders hater.
He is. Big NFL, big podcasts, NFL Network, all that. I know Adam a little bit. He's a good guy. He's funny. He is willing to be the villain to Washington. Like, he kind of has like a pro wrestling mindset. Like, he's willing to act it out, right? He replied to me about the Bears-Commanders game. Oh, I thought that was going to be week one. And I said, you need to come to town for this one. And he replied, I'm sure I'd be welcome with open arms. So, Adam, I will take you under my wing for the weekend, dude. Come to town. The Bears game will be a lot of fun. I would like Jaden to outplay Caleb in that one because I want that conversation over. Now, I don't know if you saw this video last night, Lanfield, but it was really, really well done. The folks at NBC4 between Heather Bakari and Kerwin put together the Commander's schedule video, everything you need to know in 60 seconds. And this was like hardcore snark trolling of other fans. So for the week one matchup, they have the plane flying over the Meadowlands. Mr. Mara, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire. For week two, they have just some weirdo Raider fans, or Packer fans. Week three is pretty funny. They got Caps fans chanting, we want Vegas. Week four for Atlanta, they got little kids making fun of the Dirty Birds. Week five, Harbaugh in L.A. Week six, though, Lanfield, I think particularly you would like. They just have a screen grab of the Bears cornerback that on the Hail Mary was too busy engaging with fans off to the sideline rather than playing, making a play on the football. So if you haven't seen that, I'm going to retweet it. It's hysterical, and you should watch it, and I think you'll enjoy it. Lanfield, give that a retweet from the B. Mitchell Finley account, too, man. It's funny. I enjoyed that. It's also on my Instagram if you want to check it out there. I'm going to squeeze these last two calls in. All right, Rusty, you like the schedule? What do you think?
Yeah, man, I like the schedule, and I just wanted to see. I don't know if you saw what the team did. They did, like, a roller coaster tycoon, and they trolled the Bears as well when they had Jim Nance doing the call in the background, and when the play happened, the Bears and the Commanders roller coasters are going side by side, and the Bears roller coaster just flies off the tracks, just like
funny.
Their season did.
Yeah, I like it.
So, love the schedule. Obviously, you know, I love week two, getting to go to Green Bay, but I'm right there with you. Kind of took some words out of my mouth with Drew. The Thursday game gives you the mini bye afterwards. You know, kind of not middle of the season, but a little after the middle, you get the long trip to Madrid, and then you get the bye afterwards. The Sunday night games, the Monday night games, you know, we're the most rested team of that day. So I like the fact that, yeah, they have a tougher schedule. Oh, and not to mention the gauntlet at the end. If we're going to be the team that we want to be, the fans want us to be, if we're going to be good and sustainable, we have to prove ourselves by playing the best teams. And that's what we have to do at the end of the season by going through that gauntlet and getting ourselves into the playoffs. I'm all about it. And a quick early bleep you to myself. I wish I had never said how much money I spent yesterday because that got back home and I had some explaining to do.
Yeah, I bet. All right, Rusty, take care, bud. Thanks
later.
For the call. Rusty not messing around. Never tell him the full amount, Lanfield. You got to keep some information in your pocket, all right? Speaking of putting something in your pocket, anybody want to go see Breaking Benjamin and Stained? Caller number 10 right now. You win two tickets, 800-636-1067. Wednesday, May 21st at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, check out thefandc.com/events. B. Mitch Finley, 1067 The Fan. You heard Savannah there in the update. Yes, I'm very sorry. We have a short show today. The Nats play a day game, 12:15, first pitch. Landfill's broken up to not work as long today, but we're going to persevere. And to help us do so right now is my friend Scott McBride, of course, former Maryland quarterback, DC, DMV, Hall of Famer. Scotty, what up? Thanks for making time.
JP, thanks for having me, my man. DC Hall of Famer, wow.
I just know you're roughly there, so I just said it.
Yeah. Maybe Bethesda, Maplewood Boys Club Hall of Famer, but that's about it.
Maplewood Boys Club. Two-time Washington Post All-Met. That seems legit, right?
Yeah, I'll take that.
We'll go with that one. So, dude, I wanted to have you on. Last year, obviously, the Commanders were, like, in the quarterback circuit. They were clearly going to draft a QB with the second overall pick. You and I text all the time, and you gave me your quarterback rankings just as far as last year's class, who you liked, who you didn't. And your rankings ended up looking pretty damn correct. You went Jaden, Bo Nix, and then you really liked Michael Penix also. Jaden and Bo Nix were absolutely the two best quarterbacks last year. I think Penix showed a ton. Do you have any sort of look ahead for this year's class, not the star-studded group from last year?
Yeah, I do, JP. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to really break these guys down. You know, I'm not in film rooms. I watch them on TV. Obviously, I play the game at a high level. I kind of know what I'm looking at. But just as far as talent, right? I mean, and we're talking the big picture, right? I think they got it right this year. I mean, I love Cam Ward. I watched him a lot at Miami. I watched the way that, you know, he's able to throw the ball. His arm talent is impressive. I mean, you know, the way that he throws the deep ball is unheard of. He's smooth in the pocket. He can make plays when the rush is upon him. You know, watching him last year, he did make, you know, some mistakes here and there, inconsistent with the ball, some accuracy stuff. But, like, you know, all that's going to come. You know, to me, he reminds me of Lamar Jackson. I mean, he really does. I mean, I think he deserved to go number one overall. The dude can play, and I know the Titans are going to love him when he gets to camp. So he's going to be fun to watch.
Dude, it's crazy. For all the I've watched a bunch of Miami games just kind of because of him, and I really enjoyed watching him. And he wasn't the conversation in the draft at all. All anybody did was talk about Shador and Travis Hunter and all this other stuff. I think Cam Ward is good, and I'm really excited to watch him play. What's your take on Jackson Dart with the Giants?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think he's my number two. That's what I said. I mean, this draft, they were pretty on point. I mean, I love Jackson Dart. You know, he's coachable. You know, I watched him on some of those Gruden, the classroom stuff that Gruden does, and he's very impressive. He's smart as hell. Did you see that interview he did with the Giants? I mean, they grilled him for hours on formations and calls and checks and defenses and blitzes. And, dude, he nailed every single one. And that's impressive. Look, I've been in those film rooms before. I've been grilled by quarterback coaches and head coaches before, and that stuff is not easy. Putting you on the spot like that, having to go up to a whiteboard and draw out a formation and call your checks and understand what the defense is doing and knowing where you're going to go with the ball before the ball is even snapped, and he nailed it. So off the jump, mentally, that dude is as smart as it gets, and it shows. I mean, he was a high draft pick this year. I mean, he played great last year. And he's really going to be fun to watch. His arm strength, his talent, his ability to make plays outside of the pocket. I mean, the kid can do it all. He does remind me of Bo Nix, man. So I like Jackson Dart, and he's going to be a fun one this year.
I actually like that comp with Nix for him. I thought Sean Payton did a really good job with Bo Nix. It'll be interesting to see if Daboll can do the same. Everybody says that Daboll's his quarterback whisperer, and we haven't really seen it. We're talking with our friend Scott McBride here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Of course, we remember Scotty leading the Terps to back-to-back bowl wins. Now running the McBrien Group, focused on getting high school kids to the right colleges, getting the NIL deals right, doing it the right way, because there's a lot of stuff out there that is not. I got two more. I do want to talk Shador, but I'm trying to make it in order because he was a later pick. What about the kid in New Orleans that might get the starting job? The Tyler, I can't figure out how to say his last name. Shock, whatever. Now that Carr retired, that dude's in the driver's seat.
He is. It's all a matter of putting it on the field, right? I mean, that's another smart kid. I mean, God, it's just like the IQ of these quarterbacks these days, JP, are like, man, I think of what I did back in the day, and I'm like, man, I just played backyard football. I mean, Ralph Friesen cut this playbook in half for me. I mean, in half, because it was that Stan Humphries, San Diego Chargers playbook, and I had to learn that thing, and it was darn near impossible. But for him to cut that thing, I think it was probably even more than half to 25%. It's hard, man. It's easy to do it on a chalkboard. It's easy to do it on a whiteboard. But when the bullets are flying, you got blitzes coming off the edge, and you got Javon Kearse screaming down your neck, and you got to make a read and a throw, that's what separates these quarterbacks. And it's crazy watching all these quarterbacks, in these Gruden sessions and hearing them call plays and seeing how smart these kids are. It's like, man, that is how you play the position at a high level. It's all mental. I mean, all these quarterbacks can throw it 80 yards down the field. All these quarterbacks can put it on a dime, but it's a matter of being smart and putting your offense in a position to succeed when that ball snapped. And if you can do that, man, you got the keys to the Maserati. So yeah, I like him too, man.
And then lastly, Shador.
Shador.
Watching him play football, he's pretty good on the field. And a whole lot of stuff happened outside of that. But what do you think are his chances in Cleveland?
Well, you said it right there. It's Cleveland, right? I mean, does Tom Brady win in Cleveland? I'm not sure. Maybe he does. I don't know. I would have liked to see him go somewhere else other than Cleveland. You're not setting yourself up for success with the Browns. But, to your point, I do think Shador can play. I mean, I've watched him for the last 2 years, and I know he's got talent. And he's got a good coach behind him who's been teaching him for a long time, right? It's the off-the-field stuff that concerns me. You don't want to be a cancer in the locker room. Not saying that he is, but, we've seen some of the social media posts, and we've seen some of the content that they've put out there on Shador. And as a quarterback, man, that is the opposite of who you want to be. You want to be quiet. You talk about Cam Ward not being talked about. You know why? Because he's quiet, man. He's a quiet leader, and that's why he succeeds. So I think if Shador can figure it out off the field, I do think that he's going to be a pretty solid quarterback. He's got all the intangibles. He can throw the ball. He can move outside of the pocket. He's not the fastest quarterback in the world. But at this level, man, you just got to have the right head. And I think if Shador can find a way to kind of buckle down a little bit and be coached off the field, I do think he can have a pretty good NFL career. It's just a matter of figuring all that out. But what worries me is he's in Cleveland, right? We all know how that goes.
Sure.
So we'll just have to wait and see.
Not only in Cleveland, but they draft two quarterbacks after they – sign Flack. I mean, that whole thing just seems like a mess.
Yeah, they're loaded in that meeting room. They have five or six quarterbacks.
Right.
And Dylan Gabriel, they got him too.
And Deshaun Watson is still floating around. Like, I mean, he's hurt. Who the hell knows? You know what I mean?
It's Cleveland, man.
Right. Talking with our friend Scott McBrien here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Give a follow to the McBrien Group. That is Scott's foundation that's trying to help some of these young kids get to college the right way. I know you're getting these kids where they want to go, Penn State, Syracuse. How are things going with the McBrien Group? I know we got this dinner tonight. I'm fired up to talk to Coach Locks, Madu Williams. It should be cool.
Yeah, no, it's something that's just kind of, evolved over the last 15 years, right? It's really just providing access and resources to help create opportunity, right? I mean, I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity. I didn't have many, but, coming out of high school, I had one opportunity, one offer, and I capitalized on that. But I always think, where would I be today if I didn't have that opportunity, right? Well, I was able to turn that one scholarship offer, that one opportunity, into 30 wins in 3 years and two bowl MVPs, right? But it's like, looking back, if I didn't have a coach like Bill McGregor, if I didn't have a support system, and if I didn't have the resources battling for me, to help me get that one opportunity, who knows where the heck I'd be, JP, right?
Right, so
it's more of just, you know, providing the access, providing the resources, and helping create opportunity for these kids, because every kid deserves a shot. It's just about finding that one perfect opportunity to help these kids shine. So, yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been a fun last few years, and, you know, we're only growing from here.
That's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. Last thing, you are somebody that played football at a really high level, you know, spent time with the Packers organization, but now you're a dad with little kids, and you try to juggle being a dad. And I know last year with Jaden Daniels how much my daughters, your kids, like the entire area all of a sudden cares about the burgundy and gold again.
No doubt.
How do you feel about the Christmas game?
You know, I know we were on some text chains, and we've got a few buddies and friends wanting to go down there for Christmas Day. I think it's awesome. I mean, anytime you get the Commanders on TV, national television, on 2 days, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it makes that day so much more special, right? I mean, growing up here as a Washingtonian, rooting for the, you know, the Redskins back in the day, now the Commanders, you know, we lived and died by that team and that franchise. And we lived through some really great years. And, you know, to have a lot of that starting to come back to us with obviously the, you know, the winning season last year and now the stadium coming about, being back in D.C. and having a franchise quarterback at the helm. I mean, it couldn't be a better time to be a Washingtonian. So anytime you got a big game against a big time rival on national television, it's a must see. In some cases, it's a must go. So, you know, it makes that day 50 times more special and 50 times more cooler to have the Commanders playing on Christmas Day.
Absolutely, dude. All right, we got to run. We got an early Nats game. I will see you tonight. Thanks for the time, Scotty.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, check out the McBrien Group Twitter and Instagram. Really cool stuff they're doing there. Thank you to everybody that joined the program today. Thank you to Joe Beninati. Thank you to Scott McBrien. Thank you to the folks that called. B and I will do a full schedule review when he's back, which I'm not entirely sure when that is. Tuesday, I think. So it's me and Toby probably Monday. We got to go. Nats baseball coming next. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, White Brian owes you 20 cents.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.